Have you ever thought to yourself, there has to be more than this? Why does it seem like life has a way of making us feel less? Not just feel like less, but feel less, as in numb, leaving us to wonder if this is it. Is this all that life has for us? We spend every day just trying to make it from one item on our calendar to the next, from one email to the next, from one soul-crushing moment to the next. Was this God's plan? Is there more to life than this? What if God really does have more for us? More love, more joy, more peace, more purpose, more hope. What if God is the God of more? And what if the life we've been searching for is really found as we surrender our lives more and more to Jesus? Because Jesus is offering us a way to live life that is more than we've ever even dreamed of. We are Altitude Church. We are here to help you become more like Jesus. So, what are you becoming?
Hi, I want to welcome you to Altitude Church Online. I'm Pastor Ron Olson. I'm one of the executive pastors here, and I'm excited to welcome you here to this service. Now, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It talks about a race, that we are to run this race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, right now, we're on a different kind of race than we've ever been before. It's a different kind of path. You know, the CDC is recommending that we do not gather together as a church, but we're still the church and we can still gather online. We still need to minister to the people out in our community. So I'm excited for you to join us today. Now, if you're a member of our church, we're encouraging you to continue to give. You can give online, or if you feel more comfortable, you can give through your check through the mail. Now, if you're a guest, don't feel obligated to give. But if you want to, we do have an online portal. Again, I'm excited for you to join us, and welcome.
But it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
On the nights when the dark lasts a little bit longer, when the wind and the storm is a little bit stronger, fear in my heart digs a little bit deeper, when my faith to stand gets a little bit weaker, where could I run to? Where could I go? Even when it feels like my world is shaking, even when I've had all that I can take, no, you never let me go. And even when the waters won't stop rising, even when I'm caught in the dead of night, I know, no matter how it ends, you're with me even then. When the days up ahead look a little brighter, but the grip of the past holds a little bit tighter. I'm reminded your grace never asks for perfection. Oh, I'm restored cause I'm yours and I stand forgiven, yeah. Even when it feels like my world is shaking, even when I've had all that I can take, no, you never let me go. Whoa. And even when the waters won't stop rising, even when I'm caught in the dead of night, no, no matter how it ends, you're with me even then. And even in the middle of a struggle, and even when it's hard to remember, you alone are my defense when standing on your promises. And I know, and even in the thick of the battle, and even through the valley of shadows, you alone are my defense when I'm standing on your promises. So where could I run to? Where could I go? Even when it feels like my world is shaking, even when I've had all that I can take, no, you never let me go, whoa. And even when the waters won't stop rising, even when I'm caught in the dead of night, no, no matter how it ends, you're with me even then. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. And nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. And nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will.
Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. What does he mean by saying, 'You will seek me and you will not find me,' and 'Where I am, you cannot come'? Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed."
Welcome, family. This is the second week of a whole new paradigm for the way we gather together as a church. You've probably been following along with some of the updates that our state, national, and even world governments are sharing right now. But it looks increasingly likely that over the next few weeks at least, we will be gathering together in a different way than we have in the past. Your staff met together with some key leaders and some of our elders yesterday, and we developed a three-prong approach to what this next season will look like. First of all, we are going to be calling many of the members in our existing congregation. If you don't get a call in the next week or so, let us know, and we'll make sure we add you to that list, making sure that we are touching base, seeing that you're okay, and offering to pray in any way that we are able to. We're also going to be making sure that we're stepping up our online presence. Live stream is just the minimum now. So we would encourage you to share watch parties, to get onto YouTube, and most importantly in this time, for those who aren't as technologically savvy, if you know someone in your family, your friend group, could you contact them? Help them get on Facebook Live. Help them get on YouTube. Help them do online giving. And something I never thought I'd have to say in an actual sermon to the congregation, but please check your email spam folder, because we are sending out regular updates, and I've already had a few leaders who have said that that has gone to spam for them. So it's normally at this point that I would tell you to hop on the live stream, but you're already there. So start a watch party, and let's continue forward with today's message. So early this morning, as I read through my devotions and spent some time with my kids, I did something that I haven't done for quite some time. I started scrolling through Facebook. And I don't just mean that I got on Facebook, because the irony is I always ask you guys to get onto the live stream, and I do some posts and things, but it's very rare anymore that I go on and actually scroll through my feed. It's too divisive. There's so much anger, so many people who still need to go back and listen to our series, The Absolute Joy of Being Unoffendable. But I did. And I kind of think it's ironic, because Facebook was originally designed, like most social media platforms, to draw us together. Now, of course, Facebook is far from the original. You know, we've got LiveJournal, Zanga, MySpace, rest in peace, you're all in my top eight. But Facebook was supposed to be a platform that united us, and for so long it's been one that divides us. But in the midst of a global outbreak and pandemic, we are a fully digital society. We are gathering together in new ways. And so in that, Facebook is actually getting to become once more what it was originally designed to be. And so this morning, I happened across a post from my former senior pastor, Paul Strozier. He wrote this. He said, Psalm 25, 4 through 5, has been a part of my daily centering for quite some time. It's taken on new significance in these past days. As we each make daily decisions affecting our health, our well-being, and our relationships, with the potential for ripple effects through an ever-growing circle, may this prayer guide us in all that we do. Psalm 25, 4 through 5 says this, Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. All day long, I put my hope in you. And that's my prayer for us. Perhaps you're watching this, and this is the first time you've experienced church. In a physical setting, you wouldn't step foot in the doors, and yet right now, you're looking for a hope that is beyond what you're seeing in the media or seeing in our world right now. Perhaps you're someone who's been following God your whole life. You've literally been following Jesus for longer than I've been alive. But for the first time since the war, you are in a place where you're afraid. You're anxious. And maybe you don't even want to let people know that you're afraid or nervous. Perhaps you're watching this and you still don't know what all the fuss is about. For you, this was just a very inconvenient time for this to happen because you had travel plans or big ideas for what your summer might look like. And I get it, no judgment here. My wife and I were going to take a very much needed trip to Disneyland later on this year, and that's not going to happen at this point. Perhaps you're facing the reality that your job may be different or may not even be there as all of this calms down. You're looking at what the CDC recommendations mean for your life right now, and you don't know what is going to be on the other side of this new normal. And I get it. I may not get it exactly where you are, but I get it. Because if there's one thing we need to realize, it's that we are all in this together. There are no longer the things that divided us before. We are no longer white or black, American, Asian, European. We are no longer rich or poor, Republican or Democrat. We are in this together. We are all children of God who are now broken before our Father's feet, wondering what comes next. And so in this time, may we together echo with the psalmist, "All day long, I put my hope in you." I want to give a special prayer for our medical community and those who are first responders. I want to give you an insight for parents who are now stuck at home and their kids may or may not be going back to school this semester or at least for some time. For husbands and wives, for roommates who are now going to be in this together and a little more FaceTime than we want with each other at times. God is with you. He sees you. As we prepared for this message, I had a thought, like, maybe I just need to scrap everything we're going to talk about. And maybe we just need to go in a whole different direction. And yet as I got to looking at where we were going to be, I remembered how good God is at just giving us inklings in advance, not knowing what's going to happen, but knowing kind of the direction that we need to go in. And we are currently in a series called Messiah. We are looking at the reality that our hearts yearn, as we talked about that first week, for the one who will unwrap the snake from our hearts. We talked about the idea that way back at the beginning of creation, God was already putting in place a plan, knowing that this enemy, this deceiver, is going to be speaking into our lives. And maybe right now that enemy is speaking into your anxiety or your depression. Maybe he's speaking into the closed-in spaces and your heart just feels like it's being wrung. We are crying out for the Messiah. Last week we talked about the reality that where we choose to marinate determines whether we elevate. And I don't know if you can see it on the camera, but we looked at this pickle, this cucumber, which is in bleach water, and it's now sickly and turning completely white, versus marinating in something that grows us, a change agent. Talking about how when we grow in Christ, when we marinate in his hope and in his peace, it changes things. And today, I'm going to continue on where we were going because it's so fitting. And I want to help us encounter the Messiah. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 7. Now, you may be on an electronic device where you can't turn there because you're already watching the screen. And that's okay. We're going to have it on screen for you here as well. But take a look at verse 37, where we left off last week. It says this: "On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me.'" I'm going to pause there, because God has something very important to say to your life through this. You see, there's some amazing context that comes into play with this exact statement that's going to make it come alive even more. If you remember, Jesus was at a festival. I mean, this is Comic-Con AD 29, except for that religious Jews had to be at this. This was a requirement for their faith. And this festival, it lasted a whole week. And during it, people celebrated the wandering that Israel had in the wilderness for 40 years. Think about that for just a moment. 40 years not having a home. 40 years of always being under threat by neighbors and nations. Imagine, if you will, the pandemic that we have going on right now, if it extended not just through our lifetime, but through our children's lifetime and maybe into our grandchildren's lifetime, so that for a generation or two, the only thing that they knew was the way the world is right now. And you get a sense for why Israel is remembering this deliverance, because that would shape you. That would change you. One of the commentators that I read regularly on this, he has a great way of saying it, so I'm just going to quote him directly on it. He says, "Each day during this feast, a priest carried a golden pitcher to the pool of Siloam. They filled it and returned it to the court of the temple, accompanied by throngs of people who were rejoicing greatly. And he poured it out onto the altar. And immediately," you got to picture this, "immediately the Hallel, consisting of Psalms 113 through 118, was chanted by the Levites. And the people repeated each line after the priests. It was a ceremony of much joy and satisfaction." But here's the thing, pay attention to this. Ancient rabbis are quoted as having said that he who has never witnessed this ceremony has never known what rejoicing means. Think about that. At the close of the Hallel, there was a pause in the activities, much like you would have a pause in music where it settles and it drops. And it was evidently at this moment that the voice of the Lord rang out, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." John says Jesus actually cried out, which emphasizes the fact that he shouted loudly so that people could hear. Do you feel that? Place yourself in that celebration. This moment that just makes such an important remembrance of something in the past that we were delivered from. And right as there's a pause, Jesus cries out. Verse 37, 38 says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, will have streams of living water flowing from deep within him." The time of this festival would have been a dry season. Rays of burning sunshine would be just caking the skin of the Israelites. They would have had no rain for months. And in the midst of this, people are celebrating miraculous provision. They're celebrating the moment where, in wandering through the wilderness, dry, parched, people crying out to God, God had Moses strike a rock and produce a stream of water. The joy that those people must have felt. And Jesus stands up in this moment and he offers that joy. Streams of living water that you can marinate in. Hope that rises from within. A peace that doesn't make sense in light of the circumstances that are going on. That stream that goes into the parched desert land. It's no wonder the psalmist says, "All day long, I put my hope in you." Family, it's a dry season. It may be just the start of a dry season. The sun is scorching down on us. And let's be honest, for some of us, the only connection we've had with God has been this celebration that looks to things in the past. The only connection we've had have been these moments where we remember what was back then. But what Jesus does when he stands up in that moment, he says, "I am the fulfillment. That stream that went through the desert, it pointed to me, but it pointed to something greater, a living faith, a faith we can all experience right now, a hope that transcends what's going on in the world around us as we lift our hearts and lift our hands. So right now, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, Jesus is asking you, are you thirsty? Is your soul dry? Are your tears exhausted? Do you feel empty inside? Come to me. Come to Jesus. And he will provide living water that goes out to the desert, that clears the dry land. As our soul cries out, he promises that he will meet us there. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know if your depression is rising up, your anxiety is triggered because you already had problems, and now anything that anybody else touches is a trigger. I don't know what you're facing, but Jesus does. He promises that he is with you and that he's for you in the midst of this. Because in the garden, we were introduced to this antagonist, this enemy. But the promise of the Messiah is that Jesus came to crush the snake and to unwind its effects from our hearts. As he went up on the cross, I don't know if you can see it in the video, but as he went up on the cross, he took the weight of our sin, our shame, our doubts, our worries. He took the sting and he bore them for us. But there's something else with this. See, if you remember, Jesus said he was sent. And it's interesting because Jesus is making a promise there that goes beyond just himself, but also into our lives. Turn back to John chapter 7 and look at verse 39. It says, about this stream of living water, he said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in him were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Bear with me on a little bit more history and context here, because it makes it so much more rich. But you see, during this festival, on this last and most important day, the priests would go to the pool of Siloam, and they would draw that water. The word Siloam means a sending out or a gushing forth. But it's in its simplest form, it simply means sent. So Jesus, who told us he was sent from the Father on our behalf, is standing in the midst of this festival where water from sent is being poured out on the altar. And the text tells us that this is an early indication of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit wouldn't be poured out until Pentecost, another day in Christian history. But in that moment, it wasn't about Jesus being sent to us. It transferred to us and our mission as we are sent. Before Jesus left this earth, he gave us a command to go to the ends of the earth, to be sent to others, and to show Jesus in the midst of that. And just as Jesus unwraps the snake from our hearts to help unwrap the snake from infecting and putting its venom into others, to allowing us to marinate in something different, he gave us a new mission. Church, we are called to be sent, even in the midst of a pandemic. Now, I know with just as you do, that it's weird because we would normally gather together and we would host prayer meetings or we would go to people's houses, and that's the one thing we're not supposed to do right now. But just a little history, whenever there's been a pandemic or a plague in the history of the world, the church has always stepped up and shined our light brighter. In fact, in the 300s, a historian by the name of Eusebius said this: the praise of the God of the Christians was on everyone's mouths. Wouldn't it be incredible if in a world that's divided, but now united by something that's breaking us apart, if we as a church, not just Altitude, but the church globally, the body of Christ. We're so united, so filled with hope and helping our world through this that people said the God of those Christians, his praise was on everyone's mouths. Without knowing it, three different people started chatting with me last night about how the church was going to impact the world in troubling times such as this. How will the church respond in a global pandemic? How will the church respond when there's uncertainty, especially when we can't gather together? But here's the deal. Our marching orders always included gathering together, but that was never the end result. See, we were gathering together, as I've said to you before, to recharge, to be discipled, to be encouraged, and to be equipped. But we have always been the ones who were called out and sent. And so church might look different going forward. One of my friends who's a pastor and a leader, he told his congregation virtually today that church may never look the same as it did before. We may not get back to where we were a few weeks ago, but we will always go back to our purpose. As we gather together in a different way, we gather together to be sent, to be light, and to be a hope. Even if we can't gather together for a time in person, we will still gather together as the church, because the church was never a building. It's always been the body of Christ. And when Jesus says that he is providing living water, just like we talked about in our Never Thirst series months ago, that was always meant to cause us to be conduits of living water, spreading and sharing that hope as far as we go. So we are sent, and we're in this together. But what does it mean to be a church who, as hard as it is for me to struggle with this, may not meet together in a building on Easter Sunday? What does it mean to be a church when we're used to coming to prayer events or things like that? The reality is, we're going to have to figure this out together. As I talked with those three people yesterday, I was reminded that I'm not the church. I'm a part of the church, but I'm not the church. We are the church. And if we're going to face this pandemic together, it's going to mean looking at new ways of what it means to reach our community and to be light and to be helpful and to be caring. So yesterday, some of our leaders and staff and elders gathered together to talk about how do we interact with the church, our existing Altitude church. But what we need to be talking about next is how do we, as the ones who are sent, how do we interact with our community? And I want you to know, I don't have those answers, and I'm not going to pretend to. Instead, what I'd like to do is invite us all into a conversation. So no matter when you're watching this, Sunday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. on Facebook, I'm going to start a live stream. And I would encourage you to chime in, drop comments. Let's have some conversation. Let's get some ideas going. What does it mean to be the church when we can't gather together the way we're used to? How do we leave a lasting impact in our neighborhood and in our city and in the global network that is the internet so that at the end of this virus, people say that the praise of the God of the Christians was on everyone's lips? How do we relearn loving our neighbor and loving our community? I want to encourage you to be a part of that conversation, 12:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. We'll have a conversation about it. And we together might just have some ideas to figure this out. Because we are still crying out for the Messiah. but we are called to be streams of living water. I want to do something different as I close my message today. I'm not sure when we're going to be gathering together again in person, but one of the important things that we do when we gather together is take communion. So wherever you are, I want to invite you to go to your kitchen and grab something that might resemble bread. And then grab something that might resemble juice. If you don't have bread and you've got tortillas, that's fine. If you don't have juice, you've got water, you've got milk, that's fine. It's not about what elements we use. It's about the heart as we come together. So I want to give you a moment to find those things. And while you're looking, let me just remind you that on the night that Christ was betrayed, he gathered together with some of his closest friends, his disciples, one of which was going to betray him to his death. And he bowed before them, he washed their feet, he reminded them what it means to be sent. And then he took these elements. First, he took from a piece of bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Every time you do this in remembrance of me." And then also he took the cup and he lifted it up. He said, "This is the blood, my blood, of a new covenant. A new promise between God and man, that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I am here for you and I am here with you. Every time you do this in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you as a people who are nervous. We might be afraid. We might be crying ourselves to sleep at night. We've been triggered. We've lost our jobs. We're not sure when school's going back into session. We're not sure when we're going to be gathering together again. And we're trying to socially distance, but at the same time, we are created for community and we need each other. Jesus, in this moment, would you be Messiah? Would you be our Savior? Would you remind us that while the world is still lingering in its effects, that you have crushed the head of the snake? You promise us that in this world we will have trouble, but that you have overcome the world. Jesus, as your church, we are gathering together differently, but our mission hasn't changed. Teach us to live sent in a new way. Teach us to find community in a new way, to be discipled, to be interacting, but to be a light to our community. And God, on the other side of this, whenever that is, would you restore us? Would you give us new hope? As we go through this, would you give us a peace that doesn't make sense in light of our circumstances? Knowing that whatever happens in this world, you are still on the throne. And Jesus, may we experience those streams of living water. May they right now begin to flow into the desert that is our lives, the parched lands, the dry, the arid, the broken and the cracked. May that water begin to flow and heal. Jesus, it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. I will see you again online soon. Be good to each other.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. as the thunder rolls. I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry, you raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in storm. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are. No matter where I am, and every tear I've cried, you hold it in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. Darkness tries to rule over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy out. When brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. No, I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.